The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network show and its hosts are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from New York City on the 23rd day of November 2021. I always like to remind you, I'm the editor of a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. You can sign up for that by going to miningstocks.com. Miningstocks.com. We like to plug Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying? What is Chen Selling? Go to chenpicks.com and Michael Oliver's letter as well, olivermsa.com. And Michael will be with me in just a couple of minutes from now. We do want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. This week's sponsors, Noble Resources, El Oro Resources, Hannon Metals, Labrador Gold Corp, Lion One Metals, SK Mining Corp, and Firefox Gold. I've titled today's show, Focusing on World-Class Gold and Silver Discoveries That Are Underway. Dr. Quentin Henning and Michael Oliver, my guests today. Last week, it looked as if the next leg up on the gold bull market may be underway, with the market closing the week above 1825, as Michael Oliver's momentum and structural analysis work suggested would likely do the trick. Well, you know, there's huge amounts of paper money that can be sold and manipulate the gold price in the short run. Gold price discovery can really be damaged by this, and there was a massive amount of paper futures markets activity this week that drove the gold price down very dramatically. Last Friday, Alistair MacLeod warned on King World News that the bullion banks would want to see gold lower to take out the longs and call options on the December contract. On those contracts that those banks wrote, he suggested that was behind Monday's massive smackdown by the bullion banks, and stated, and I quote, "Those of us buying physical to spend when fiat collapses should be eternally grateful." End of quote. And then later yesterday, Alistair tweeted, and I quote, "An entity dumped $1.25 billion worth of gold futures in 1 minute. And then a second dumping of that amount occurred also in 1 minute's time. Seems obvious the objective was to drive prices down as much as possible, as is most likely it is the major bullion banks slamming the market again with fake gold in the form of paper contracts." And Alistair also noted that something like the open interest, the last three trading sessions, he said COMEX open interest has fallen 42,406 contracts. The bear raid by the bullion banks has been successful. They will want to shake out more flaky bulls ahead of option expiry, putting a price cap on of about $1,800. So he says, last chance to grab and hold some cheap physical, end of quotes. And so this may indeed be the last chance to pick up some cheap gold and silver bullion. If you take into account the amount of money that has been created with COVID-19 since that point in time, gold is now selling as low as when it was $35 an ounce in the 1970s and $250 in the early 2000s. From a fundamental point of view, you can make that case. But as cheap as gold is, you can make the argument also that the gold and silver shares are even cheaper, especially for exploration companies that are on the verge of outlining world-class discoveries. That's why I'm so happy to have Quentin Henning with me today to talk about Noble Resources after our first commercial break. And then in the third segment today, Quentin will be with me to talk about several small cap exploration companies that are sponsors to this show, as well as those that are among my favorites in my newsletter. And so he's going to be here to give us an update on some of those world-class discoveries that appear to be underway, and also Noble Resources. He'll talk to us right after our first commercial break. But right now, I'm really happy to tell you that Michael Oliver is with us once again. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back, and I do have to ask you, and I'm sure people listening to this show would like to hear what your response is. 1825 was going to be a number that we were waiting for. We cleared that with a considerable despair, and yet they really slammed this market hard on Monday of this week. What is your take?
Well, my take is this. First off, any breakout that we get on momentum, you can sometimes get immediate gratification. In other words, it goes out the gate and just never looks back. That's usually rare. What a momentum trend change indicates to us is the trend pattern, the direction of the zigzags, if you want, is now shifted to positive. That doesn't mean you can't have pullbacks, you can't pull back below the breakout level even. It's quite possible. This is true with all markets, not just gold. Now, there are some numbers below that we issued today that we don't want to see. We're not near them right now. It would indicate a further sharp sell-off. But right now, the gold market's trading 30 bucks below our weekly closing breakout number that we wanted to see during this quarter, and that occurred several weeks ago. As you said, it went well above the breakout. However, we also wanted to see silver do same, and it did not. Silver closed a penny and a half, like 2 weekly closes ago or so, below our breakout number that we wanted to see, and it didn't close above it. It closed a penny and a half below our trigger number. That's how precise it was in its peak weekly close. And since then, it's dropped $2 back, you know, halfway back to the low that it made several months ago. So we want to see silver break out as well to reaffirm, to second what gold has said, and that hasn't occurred yet. And those numbers are up in the 25-30s. So we're trading around 2360 right now. So we've got to go back up again. So anyway, that's the technical situation. Is gold did break out over a structure, but silver did not agree with it. And we want silver to concur. So we're waiting on that. But there's some other things I think investors, particularly investors, not traders, need to pay attention to. We've been bashed by this Fed taper talk since June. Almost every month there's been a bashing. You know, where it rises again in the public sentiment and they bash the market. So when Powell was renominated on Monday, when Biden announced it, the market preferred to be Brainard. The gold and silver market did. At least some people did. Frankly, I thought it really wouldn't make a lot of difference. Powell has proven that he can print better than anybody. Okay. No, Ed, I don't care if he's a Republican or not. You know, he can print money, and he did what Trump told him to do, print money and get interest rates to zero. Well, he did it later than Trump wanted, but he did it. So he's proven his ability to do that. This talk of taper is very interesting because if you look at certain key markets that the Fed has defended by outright buying last spring, especially starting about May last year, they started buying outright ETFs on corporate debt. HYG is one of them, and JNK Junk is the other. This is high-yield corporate debt ETFs, and they bought those outright. They ceased buying, as I understand, in June of this year. And once they did, if you'll look at a chart of HYG and JNK, those markets, which had been moving with the S&P 500 in nice sync over the last couple years, started to ooze downside over the last couple months, while the S&P continued to move higher. So they divorced themselves from the S&P, and this is a critical market arena. Pension funds own a lot of this stuff in order to get high yield. And by the way, read the article in the business section of the journal today, Wall Street Journal, about the situation that a lot of pension funds are finding themselves in. I'll read you the headline. Public pensions have less cash, making liquidity crunch a risk. Mm-hmm. So right now, HYG and JNK are within decimals of the low of the year. Mm-hmm. And the S&P is mm-hmm. just off the high of the year.
Uh-huh.
That is more critical to the Fed than anything, is this debt market. If that market starts to break down, this talk of taper, not buying that debt, for example, or selling it, for example, would crush that market and would also, in turn, greatly damage the pension funds, which were in, at a seven-year low in terms of cash.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to pay attention to that because the Fed will, but it's not a headline article. It's not a something that most investors or analysts are talking about. But that asset category is on the ropes, and our momentum work says it's on the ropes as well. It's not just weak in price, but the momentum says it's weak. So you got to watch that arena because if it starts down, all this talk about Fed tapering, if they do, they're going to help deflate one of their biggest bubbles they've ever made. And if you look at an HYG chart or an S&P chart going back 12 years from 2008-9 lows, and look at the increase in price that we've seen over that dozen years, and then go get a chart, my suggestion, go to the St. Louis Fed website, mm-hmm. Fed website, and pull up a chart on Fed funds rate going back decades. And you'll see that Fed funds rates were off the page low. I mean, they were at zero, they popped up to two, and they're back at zero, basically, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And compare that to history, and you'll understand why we have a bubble greater than any bubble we've ever seen in the stock market or in the corporate debt market. If that bubble starts to come undone and the Fed doesn't enter to protect it, meaning cease tapering and start printing again, then that bubble is going to unwind noisily and rapidly, in which case all this talk of taper goes out the window and instead the exact opposite occurs, in which case all the people selling gold, and they've repeatedly done it now four or five times since June, mm-hmm. have been wrong. And if you'll look at the charts, you'll see all the sell-offs in gold based on the taper thing have gone, come from the 1800s, gone back down into the 1700s, but it's just repeated selling in the same zone.
Mm-hmm.
They're really
mm-hmm.
not making any headway. They just keep knocking it back down, but it comes back up again. Mm-hmm. The question is whether they can knock it back down and take out the March lows or not in the 1600s, or whether this is yet another false taper-type sell-off. Watch the corporate debt market. It's very critical.
Yeah, I would think so. And of course, we know what the Fed will do. We think we know what the Fed will do. It will err on the side of ease rather than tightness.
They have to. They have no choice.
But it could yeah. get away from them. It could get away from them. You know, I mean,
it could.
They have to have perfect timing, right?
No, it could. You could have a situation. I could envision this where they talk the taper enough to where these things unravel, start to come unraveled. Look at what's going on in the stock market this week. It's a pretty sharp drop from the high of the week, from Monday's high to today's low. And it will take a lot more to start triggering some things over there as well. They could go overboard the other way, meaning taper, not mm-hmm. buy enough of these assets, start diminishing their holdings, and help cause the situation to come unraveled.
Mm-hmm.
The monster they made, they'll make it worse when it mm-hmm. comes undone. And then, of course, the opposite will have to occur at some point,
mm-hmm.
In which case they'll have to go even more overboard than they did over the last year in terms of printing mm-hmm. money and keeping rates low. Notice that the ECB is not tapering.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Christine Lagarde yeah. is definitively not doing that. And so we got a division between supposed Fed policy and ECB policy. They're going opposite directions, no taper or taper. And the question is, will the Fed be alert enough to respond quickly, or will they let it come unraveled first before mm-hmm. they panic?
Mm-hmm.
In which case, you could get an event where gold sells off, mm-hmm. and then suddenly it looks up and realizes what's going on again. You know, the central bank's going berserk, and the gold will whiplash itself out of a hole. Mm-hmm. And that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I wouldn't say it's technically likely, but you know, anything's possible here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. So, I mean, that I think the number that you passed along was something like 1750 or something like that.
1753 is a number I don't want to see on the front month gold.
Right.
If we don't see it this month. That's we avoid it.
But if things come unraveled, we could see something below that, and then would be a buying opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah,
one other thing I'd like to mention, yep. Michael, and see what your thoughts is. Bob Hoy out of Vancouver, an elder statesman in our business, he talks about how gold always performs best after the bubble is pierced. And you know, in terms of the real value of gold, for example, you know, so
yes.
I don't know if it's a, and the mining companies usually do very well in that environment as well. So, interesting enough, with just about a minute left, I'd like to ask you about, Bitcoin. And you did, in your weekend, precious metals letter, you did compare Bitcoin to gold. Would you like to comment on that briefly? Because
yeah,
I see, you know, from going back to
2016,
Bitcoin has risen about 3,500% relative to gold.
It's definitely beat gold and silver over the last 4 or 5 years. Okay, we know that. It's done it in dramatic up waves and down waves, but it's been an upward pattern where Bitcoin has outperformed gold. However, there is a situation now with Bitcoin measured against gold or silver that says you got to be careful now, because we've got a structure underneath this on annual on long-term momentum of Bitcoin, on the spread of Bitcoin versus gold or Bitcoin versus silver, that if you pause Bitcoin much or cause it to pull back while gold doesn't do the same on a percentage basis, then the spread relationship could shift positively for gold and silver versus Bitcoin. And frankly, given the structure that's been built since a 2018 low in this spread, there have been three up waves, you cannot afford too much pullback in Bitcoin and a opposite up move or stability in gold and silver. Otherwise, the relative performance will shift, favoring the monetary metals over Bitcoin. And it wouldn't surprise us to see that occur in the next couple of months. It hasn't occurred yet. We don't have a signal yet, but it's ready and waiting, put it that way.
All right. We'll have to leave it go at that. And, of course, to keep up with that sort of thing, as well as many other markets that you follow for your subscribers, it's olivermsa.com. Michael, thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you, Jay.
Always important. Thank you so much. Well, folks, we do have to go to break, but don't go away. Dr. Quentin Henning will be with us to talk about Novo Resources. I'll be right back with Dr. Henning.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Firefox Gold is actively exploring in Finland, where recent discoveries have sparked a new gold rush. Firefox controls a major portion of a prospective gold belt, giving the company a distinct advantage for exploration and strategic partnerships. The company's strong international leadership team, combined with its Finland-based exploration specialists, will put Firefox on the crest of the coming wave of gold discoveries. Firefox Gold trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FFOX. Go to firefoxgold.com to subscribe for updates.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQB, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals, rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go, on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Follow us on Twitter at Voice America TRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's Voice America TRN.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I am really happy to tell you that Dr. Quentin Henning is with us once again, this time to give us an update on Novo Resources. Quentin is now the non-executive co-chairman of the company that he built, and he is also full-time with Crescat Capital, where he provides very valuable advice to that firm to help them select exploration companies with the potential to outline world-class gold and silver deposits. I know many years that I've known Dr. Henning, he's not interested in tiny little projects. He's looking for the big guys, and he very often is involved in finding them. And he's going to be here in the next segment as well to cover some of the others companies that he's provided some advice on. Quentin, thanks for joining me again.
Absolutely, always a pleasure, Jay.
It's always a pleasure to have you as well. I maybe should just mention for those that, well, I think everybody knows Novo by now, but it's NVO in Toronto, NSRPF in the U.S., 246 million shares. I saw it earlier today at $1.20 in U.S. money, giving it a market cap around 300 million in U.S. money. But it's also noteworthy that the company has some very significant assets as well, that is liquid assets in the form of cash and marketable securities. I don't know, by my count, it looks like something on the order of 160 million U.S. dollars, something like that. And so the company is well-funded, and it's got lots going on. So let's get started with now a new producer. Novo is a new producer. We've been covering it for many years before it produced, but now it's producing. It announced production of 14,890 ounces in the second quarter of this year, and 18,000. It boosted that to 18,144 ounces in Q3. But the market was expecting something higher, I think, maybe somewhat disappointed. Although for the many years I've been covering companies, I know that new producers almost never go straight up. They always have some startup issues. And so the Beaton's Creek project that Novo put into production would be no exception. There is a shortfall of due primarily, as I understand, Quentin, to lower head grades, and the company was going to try to resolve that by tighter spaced pre-production drilling, I think, on 10-meter centers. How are things going in that regard? I mean, are you seeing some results, positive results from the tighter spacing?
Certainly, we are, Jay. So to give everybody a little background, we started production around mid-February of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest challenge we had initially was around grade control. The laboratory that we had worked out to do our grade control assaying simply got backed up, mainly due to a shortage of people. Like the preparation of samples was probably the biggest bottleneck. But long story short, we had to be light on our toes and implement visual grade control. Not ideal for any deposit, mm-hmm. especially when you're starting. So, you know, that had challenges in itself. But we managed to kind of get things heading in the right direction by July of this year. Now, part of that, that transition is, or not transition, but I guess a learning exercise around visual grade control was, we were mining different reefs at different times, different layers of conglomerate at different times. And what we found is that in different layers and different areas, there are subtleties that have to be recognized, I guess, mm-hmm. Thickness of the bed and then, its lateral continuity and so forth. And so, that imparted some further challenges. But what we decided to do was get our laboratory issue worked out. So in May, we signed an agreement with Intertech to put our grade control samples through the Chrysos machine that they had purchased there. Now, they had purchased one, and then the second one was installed about a month or two later. So by mid-year, we started to get routine assays coming out from the assay lab, which was really, really helpful. Now, initially, the team on site targeted 20-meter spacings to try to get a handle on things. They were actively mining. You can't just simply park everything up and not do anything. So they got their 20 by 20 spacing holes in place in some critical areas, and assays back by, say, October, maybe early October. Mm-hmm. But even with that, it was recognized that 10 by 10 meter control was needed. So they've been very aggressively drilling on 10 by 10 meter spacing now. And that's given a great deal of, you know, high resolution on exactly where each bed is and how to mine it. That has resulted in a better success here in the past few weeks. I've noticed the grade steadily increasing. Mm-hmm. Part of that, you know, is they are mining the M1 and M2 in certain areas too, which is very helpful. They're very sheet-like and continuous conglomerates. So overall, we're seeing a dramatic improvement in the grade control issues that we face. I think from here on out, the guys with 10 by 10 meter space drill grade control drilling, they should be in a good position to effectively minimize dilution. Now, that said, we are still mining new areas. Every day that goes along, you know, we get into new parts of the ore body. We're up on Golden Crown Hill right now, which is a pretty complicated area, but the guys seem to have their eye tuned into things, and with these 10 by 10 results as they come back, I think they'll be able to stay on top of things. So I'm very optimistic there.
Yeah, I think it's noteworthy, Quentin, if I understand the financials, despite these difficulties, it was pretty much an operating, you weren't suffering losses on an operating cash flow, if I understand the numbers. You were, you know.
Yeah, we were treading water. I mean, you know, there were months where we made pretty good money, and then there were other months where, you know, we had to, well, for example, we had to build the tailings lift, which is a capital item in itself, so a sustaining capital item. So, you know, the company's been basically treading water the operation's been treading water in terms of cash flow.
Today.
We do expect that to improve going forward. It's, like I said, really turning the corner here lately, and I'm very optimistic. And it's to the point now where our exploration team, you know, is kind of given the green light to go ahead and be very aggressive, you know, with spend on exploration. And that's really our next main thrust, is to make sure that we start exploring the district and even other areas of the Pilbara.
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw somewhere one of the corporate PowerPoint presentations that the company still has a target, or at least a desire to produce upwards to 100,000 ounces a year from Beaton's Creek. Obviously, production levels thus far fall short of that. But the point is that, as you just said, you started exploring aggressively out and around Beaton's Creek as well, right? Maybe you could talk about that, because you've had some pretty outstanding numbers that I've seen come across from different areas, you know, close to, I think, within, I don't know, fairly close to Beaton's Creek.
Yeah, Beaton's Creek is the deposit in the conglomerate, mm-hmm. and that's really part of the greater Nulligan Gold Project. So we have this area around the town of Nulligan, in which we kind of class it as near mine or, well, near production type exploration. And that includes a lot of new targets that we're finding out in the Mosquito Creek area, which is to the east of Beaton's Creek. And we have had some very good results here lately. We had some announced a few weeks ago from the Genie Prospect, which is only 3 kilometers north of the mill. So, you know, very low-hanging fruit. And then other targets. And now recently we've been drilling at Parnell Vulture, which is a very large target that we have identified through soil sampling and geologic work, really sound geologic work. And we're drilling 15,000 meters there. So we've announced that to the market. The goal of all of this is to put together basically a longer mine life. And, you know, we want to be in this camp for a long time. So we're looking at tackling basically every exploration opportunity we can see within reason around the mill.
Mm-hmm. How close are those to the mill, Genie and Parnell? And I think there's another one, Hemi?
Yeah, let's pick them apart. So Genie is only 3 kilometers north of the mill. Mm-hmm. Parnell's about 35 or 40 kilometers by road to the northeast of the mill, and it's, you know, easily within transport distance. And then the Hemi target, which that's actually De Grey's target. The area that we're exploring on the, we'll call it Hemi Trend, is a belt of rocks that's way over by Port Hedland. So it's not really impactful for the immediate production at Nulligan, but it's certainly a really robust target, and targets, I should say, that we've identified here recently.
Your focus had been until recently almost exclusively on conglomerate hosted gold. Is that changing?
It's changing in the sense that we are recognizing some basement targets that we think are well worth going after. Part of the issues around working in certain areas is getting native title and heritage work done. We're being very patient and diligent and trying to work with our Aboriginal partners in these areas. And so sometimes our priorities shift to areas that we can see can be advanced sooner. So the area around this Hemi trend that I mentioned is kind of just north of the reserve in that area. So we think we can move that forward a little bit quicker. We're also moving the area around Comet Well and Purdy's Report forward. We're doing that mechanical sorting test work here shortly. But we've also identified some new targets. There is a lot of activity in the Pilbara, I guess. What I would say is that we kind of blaze the trail for others to start exploring, and other are coming in, not necessarily just gold either. You're seeing lithium is very big, of course, iron ore always, but we're also seeing nickel discovery. So we recognize that that geology basically underlies our land position in places. We've got, around 13,000 square kilometers, so it's not surprising to have some of these other potentials.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, very interesting. Battery metals.
Yeah.
Well, I know your focus. I know you're a gold guy, Quentin, and I know you're not going to stray too far from gold. But if there's the opportunities there, you certainly that would be great.
I think we're looking at it as a value add. It might not even be us that necessarily advances some of these other targets, but we're trying to identify some targets that maybe we bring in another partner or something. Some of them we tackle ourselves, at least to a degree or something. Mm-hmm. It's up for debate right now, but we do want to inform our shareholders that we do have a lot of the potential that others have seen across this region.
I've got to ask you about mechanical sorting, because in my mind, that is potentially very, very big for Novo. How's that going? And could you give our listeners a sense of what it might mean? I know that you're going to a larger scale right now. You're testing it. Earlier scales looked extremely impressive and successful. But could you just talk a little bit about mechanical sorting?
Absolutely.
And where you're going with that?
Yeah, certainly. We put out a news release on mechanical sorting test work, we'll call it field level test work that we're undertaking a couple of weeks ago. And the machine is now installed at Nulligan, so it's basically constructed the machine and all its peripheral equipment right next to the existing mill there at Nulligan. It simply makes it easier for us, I guess, to permit and operate there. We've got a whole bunch of bulk samples that were discussed in the news release from various projects that we have across the Pilbara. So we got stuff from Comet Well and Edgina and Talga, and even Beaton's Creek and stuff. So we're going to put those samples through over the next few weeks here. They are basically in place, and I think most of the material has been crushed and is and screened and is ready for the test work. And I can't tell you exactly where they're at this second, but I know that that's a main initiative over the next few weeks before Christmas.
Yeah, it could really be very significant, I think. And with regard to Edgina, I think that you mentioned, I think there's maybe an orogenic target there or next to it, but it won't interfere, as I understand, with the existing target that you were looking at.
That's correct. Look, this Hemi trend, we'll call it, is a basement-hosted gold system. It's associated with a certain type of intrusives that are called sinucoids, a little bit odd name, but basically they're gold-rich intrusions that seem to have generated some pretty stout gold deposits like De Grey has. We have that trend on our ground, and we will explore, but it does not impact our ability to operate the gravels, the near-surface gravels in that area.
Very good. All right. So we got to go to break now, but what could you I guess investors just need to keep their eyes on the news releases. There's a lot of things you'll have coming out.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of expiration news, the mechanical sorting, of course, but we'll also have some updates around production out of Beaton's Creek as far as what the future is going to look like. So we're able to start talking here soon about forecasts of what to come and how we're going to build production from here forward.
Very good. Excellent. All right. Well, folks, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away because Quentin will be right back with me after we go to commercial break, and he's going to give us a little bit of an update on some very exciting stories: El Oro Resources, Hannon Metals, Lion One Metals, SK Mining, Labrador Gold Corp, all companies that are sponsors of this show, companies that I have in my newsletter that I'm extremely excited about. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Henning to talk about, give us an update, a little bit of an overview and an update on those companies. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Lion One Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barakoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa, play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and Dr. Quentin Henning is back with us after the break to talk about some of my favorite stories, companies that are sponsors of the show, also companies all of which I have purchased shares of, and they are also favorites in my newsletter, Jay Taylor's Gold Energy and Tech Stocks. So thanks for staying with us, Quentin, and I'd like to ask you, first of all, about El Oro Resources. This is a company that's exploring a massive silver tin rich polymetallic deposit in Bolivia. It's hosted in several breccia pipes. I think a couple of them that you've pierced into so far, but maybe there's more targets there as well. But as I understand it, this is a huge bulk mineable target, very rich in silver and tin. And so just give us an overview of that.
Certainly. Look, yeah, look, this region of South Central Bolivia is geologically is very interesting because the magmas that came up, these are, it's part of the circumpacific arc. You know, basically it's an area where there's been long-lived subduction, where the oceanic crust has been drawn underneath the continental crust. And in that process, you generate a lot of melts. And for some reason, in this area, the melts are rich in many, many different metals. They basically have a whole host of metals that you would find across the periodic table, you know, including tin and silver in this case, but also lead, zinc. Now they're seeing copper at the Porco zone and gold, you know, actually some pretty impressive gold, gold out of the recent assays they got at the Porco target. Which is really just a subset of the greater Iskaiska property here. It's really shaping up to be, you know, a truly world-class system.
And this is a resource. I think they're going to announce they'll be putting together a resource sometime in the not-too-distant future, I believe.
Yes. If you look at the drilling done to date, I think they have three rigs operating, and the drilling they've done to date has largely focused up and around the Santa Barbara area, which is where the company first encountered some long intervals of silver, lead, zinc, and tin mineralization, starting, I think, back in January. And you can see, I'm quite impressed, like Bill and Osvaldo are definitely focusing a lot of drilling up in that region. They've done some geophysics that indicate the system's wide open up there, and I'm going to, you know, hold my breath, because I think what they're saying is that basically every time they drill a hole, they still can't find the edge of this thing, which is just remarkable. Yeah, it is. It's an amazing system. So very anxious to see where that resource lands. Right now, I think the box that they've drawn around, you know, this targeted initial resource area is something on the order of 1.5 or maybe up to 2 kilometers long, and it's about 600 meters wide, and or maybe even more than that at this point. And it extends down about 600 meters. So you can imagine, I mean, that's a lot of rock that they're tackling. It's not to say that every, you know, cubic meter inside that's going to be mineralized. I'd say looking at the drill intercepts, probably in the order of 30 or 40%, maybe up to 50% in some holes is reportable in terms of mineralization. So, but that's still an absolutely exceptional result. Porco, the area that they've sampled here recently, way down at the south end, so we're talking like 2.5 kilometers, and they're seeing high gold and copper and even higher tin grades. I mean, it's astounding. So it looks like the system, like the hottest part of the system, which is usually where you find the gold and tin and, you know, copper, is actually down in that area, and that just makes you start to think, wow, you know, now we've got not only the Santa Barbara area, but everything in between. It's absolutely immense.
Is it likely then, as you say, they keep stepping out and keep finding mineralization? Is it possible that there will be a delay then in terms of the initial resource, or are they just drawing a border around what they're going to report?
Well, that's a good question. I think Bill is down in the country right now. He's kind of going through a review, and I'll be anxious to see where they land with that. I guess my advice, sometimes companies get a bit aggressive about putting a resource out, and they kind of forget, you know, the bigger picture. I don't think Bill's that kind of guy, so I'm not too worried. Mm-hmm. But he, you know, if he says, oh, you know, let's keep drilling here or there or whatever, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up forestalling the resource a little bit just to get, you know, some more drilling in.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, 62.1 million shares, only $2.83, $175 million market cap, given the sort of size of this thing. And I don't know, we don't have time to go through too many more because we have more companies to talk about. But in terms of tin could be a very valuable part of this. Silver and tin primarily at this point, right?
Absolutely. Silver and tin, but in other areas, you know, the lead zinc is very important, and now copper and gold.
Oh, crazy. Crazy stuff. All right. Hannon Metals, HAN and HANNF in the U.S., 92 million shares, only 20 cents, the lowest market cap company that we'll talk about. Hannon Metals exploring a vast sedimentary-hosted copper-silver mineralization in Peru. Give us the overview of this one.
Yeah, look, I'll give you the two-minute version. Basically, they're looking at a copper-silver system, very different than most people are used to. This is a sedimentary-hosted copper-silver system. It is hosted by black shales, and it's very extensive. It's on the east side of the Andes. There is folding in the region, so you see these rocks come up, and then they go down into the subsurface over and over again. But these guys have done worked across a very large area at Tabalosis that's confirmed this thing is extremely extensive, you know, on the order of tens to even hundreds of kilometers across. So the San Martin Copper Project is really shaping up to be something potentially world-class. Now, they also have a belt of porphyries, again, on the east side of the Andes. These are something we call alkaline porphyries. They're richer in gold, very early stage, but I do know they're doing work there, too, to just try to identify, you know, what areas are the most prospective for the copper gold porphyries. So very anxious to see where that lands.
Yeah, it's one of the things I'm wondering about a little bit is Peru, the new political situation there. It hasn't been terribly positive towards mining. That's just one thing. I don't know if you have any opinion. Maybe that's more a better question for Michael Hudson of the company, but I don't know if you have any thoughts.
I have a comment. I know a lot of people in a lot of companies. We have a lot of investments down there. So we watch it fairly closely. I would say that Peru has had a sustained mining industry for now for several decades, and I'd be surprised if that gets disrupted. I think their economy basically is, you know, in part driven by minerals.
Sure.
But, you know, it's not to keep people from doing goofy things from time to time, and politicians are the goofiest people on the planet. So,
I can say that again.
They came out and said some things the other day, and then they quickly tried to walk them back, and, it's politicians.
Yeah, politicians, both sides of their mouth. That's typical. So, okay, so SK Mining, really, really exciting story. Now, this is a $400 million market cap based on the numbers this morning, $2.45 U.S., 162.5 million shares. But my goodness, this company is really exploring what looks like, like the SK Creek project. Just give us an overview of where this company's at now, this polymetallic, really a VMS project.
Yeah, look, this company should be thought of as hosting a district, not just a particular target. The drilling this year tested a number of areas, including TB and Jeff, which were partially drilled last year. And this year, I think the results we're seeing are very outstanding. And they're really a great expansion of what we understood from last year. So recently, the company announced some very long intercepts, you know, 90 to 140 meters of 2.6, 2.7 gram gold equivalent in the Stockwork zone to the feeder of the VMS. We're waiting some assays from the actual massive sulfide itself, which is very intriguing. But beyond that, the company has identified and now drilled a number of other VMS targets down south. This Vermilion target, C10, those were drilled this year, anxiously awaiting results from those. And then they've identified boots on the ground work up in the northeast, a new area called Scarlet Ridge, which is just an absolutely immense VMS system, very similar in the stratigraphy to the SK Creek deposit, which is about 7 kilometers west. Again, we're very excited. I think this is a story that will absolutely be one of the front runners in terms of Canadian exploration stories over the next few years.
And there's more assays coming out from this year's drilling, I think, right?
Yeah, look, only I think 5 holes out of 98.
So we have
tons of assays.
So we should be getting a lot of news through the winter months here before the company goes back to work. And how soon can they get to work in the next year?
Yeah, look, the target, we had meetings last week. We were targeting early June this year to get in, perhaps in the lower areas, and then try to expand. We got about 23,000 meters done this year. We would like to get well north of 30,000 meters done next year, so that might mean, you know, a bit more aggressive approach, earlier start, later finish, maybe even more rigs at some point. Don't know yet, but we want to be aggressive. This is a winner.
I should mention that you are involved either directly as an advisor to these companies or as an advisor in any event with Crescat Capital, because each of these companies, I believe, Crescat has an interest in as well.
That's correct. Yes.
All right. Labrador Gold, next door to one of the most outstanding new gold discoveries in North America. I would say Newfound Gold's amazing discovery, and it's Queensway Project. This is the Kingsway Project. It's just adjacent to and along the same belt of rocks as Newfound's Queensway Project. So the Kingsway Project is being explored, and we did have the company on this show just recently. I think they're having some pretty nice success, but so far, I'm thinking of a half a meter of 76.24 grams per ton. It's a pretty nice number, but so far I haven't had the same sort of longer intersections, I think, that the Newfound has had. But just give us your overview of Labrador.
Certainly. Look, Lab is situated just like Newfound along the Appleton-Fault corridor. This is a north-northeast trending fault structure. And then the secondary structures, these are the smaller structures that come off, are actually the ones that host mineralization. What we're seeing at Lab is basically the same style of mineralization they see down at Newfound. It's not a big surprise. We're talking, you know, same structure, same system, basically. But they haven't found the big structure, you know, like the big, you know, 10 plus meters type structure yet on the on their side of the property. Now, that said, the company is now exploring through drilling areas east of the Appleton Fault. And if you look at all the bigger discoveries that Newfound has made, they are all east of the Appleton Fault. So the premise is that now that they're drilling on the east side, they might turn up some wider intercepts here at some point. One area that I kind of focus on is this Golden Glove target. They identified a couple of months ago. It's immediately north of the property boundary, and it's immediately east of the Appleton Fault. And they got samples there at surface over 300 grams per ton. I'm very hopeful that that they will find a new high-grade discovery. Look, Newfound, I'll put a plug in there. They've also got a new discovery called Big Dave, which is immediately south of the property line. So I think the high grade basically straddles that property line.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And of course, Newfound has an interest in Labrador as well. If they own some shares
of
Labrador.
That's correct. Yes. Yep. Absolutely. And, yes.
So Labrador, I've got it selling at 68 cents U.S. money earlier today, 153.7 million shares. U.S. market cap, a little over $100 million. Dollars. So certainly if there's some big numbers coming down the pike, there's a lot of room on the upside for these shares, I would guess. And last but not least, and I know you're going to be with us next week to talk about Lion One Metals, an alkaline deposit, as you've identified it. Certainly a story that I was watching over the years, but always seemed a little bit small, very high grade. And this is the Tuvutu project in Fiji. But now I think with your input, it's come to be realized that this is a much bigger system than what management might have first envisioned. And the company is moving towards production, right?
That's correct. So they've got the exploration continuing, particularly on the high-grade feeder. They've been drilling at depth. It is very exciting because, you know, that high-grade feeder is shaping up to be a bit wider in terms of its true width, and as far as grades, it's considerably higher than some of the loads above. So very aggressive exploration continues there. They're also doing a lot of infill drilling in preparation for mining. They are looking at building a modest-scale mine in the next couple of years, and that would be it would be an expandable mine. It's basically a scalable mine. So the idea is to kind of do this at a test level initially, but be also ready to expand production. I'll talk more about that next week. I don't want to spoil that punchline just yet.
Yeah, but 86 cents, 156 million shares, $135 million market cap. LIO is the symbol, LOMLF in the U.S. I purchased it. And certainly, I mean, just I think one of the headline numbers that I saw recently, 3.9 meters of 33 grams, and it was underneath some really high numbers underneath their existing resource, I believe, right? So,
yes, that's correct.
It's really a lot of exciting stories, Quentin, that you're working on, and I know Crescat Capital. I should tell our listeners that I put a plug in for Crescat Capital as well. People that follow a good number of the stories that I follow in my newsletter are followed and invested in by Crescat. And you put out, you and the two gentlemen you work with there, put out a wonderful product every Friday, almost every Friday, unless for some reason you can't do it. Crescat gets active videos, and usually, you start out with a macroeconomic view and the market view, and then you come in with your exploration intelligence and how, you know, the projects and the nature of the projects. And I think it's just a wonderful service that that you provide on YouTube. So I want to thank you for that, and Tavi and your people there that are doing such a great. It's just.
Look, it's a pleasure to. It's actually one of the most enjoyable things that I look forward to Friday every week. It's fun. We won't have it this week, so I don't want to get people's hopes up. I'm up in Seattle. Kevin and Tavi are taking a well-deserved break with their families, but we'll be back next week.
Well, it's Thanksgiving weekend and Thanksgiving week, so I guess that makes a certain amount of sense. Quentin, I want to thank you very much for joining us today and an extended time frame with you. It's really good to have you, and it's always appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jay.
Well, folks, that is it for this week. Next week, I'll be here with Adam Taggart. He's the host of a great new video series named Wealthion. He has a lot of really great interviews there, but we're going to be interviewing Adam next week to get his sense of what's going on in the economy and some of his guests and who they'll be and who he's going to have on in the near future. So, and Quentin, as we just said, will be back with us next week to talk more about Lion One Mines. All right, folks, well, that's it for this week. And until next week, goodbye and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Labrador Gold is an exploration company focused on its flagship Kingsway project, located in central Newfoundland Gold District. Labrador Gold's first phase drilling program has successfully identified high-grade gold mineralization, including a 3.6-meter intercept, grading 20.6 grams per ton gold, and 1.85 meters, grading 50.38 gram per ton gold. The company has approximately $35 million in the treasury and is led by a world-class team of CEO Roger Moss and technical advisors Sean Ryan and Quentin Henney. Business news and discussions are always changing. In order to stay ahead of the game, sometimes you need to be a follower. You can follow the Voice America Business Channel on Twitter at @VoiceAMBusiness. Again, that's at @VoiceAMBusiness, and stay current. Have you ever been interested in technology or the application? Technology is always changing, and there is definitely a place for you in it. Listen for Coding the Future with Dr. Sharon Jones. Sharon and her guests teach you the skill set and present resources that help you incorporate and enhance technological know-how in your current career, as well as prepare you for future success. Listen every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or Amazon Kindle. The Voice America interactive radio player powered by Aircast gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live, and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for your iPhone, Android, or Amazon Kindle powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple App Store, Amazon, or Google Play. Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa, play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
I'm Jay Taylor, and I want to welcome you to Turning Hard Times into Good Times, my weekly radio show that airs every Tuesday between the hours of 3 and 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Both Republicans and Democrats are advocating policies that are destroying free market capitalism in favor of socialism and fascism. Through the eyes of Austrian economics, guests on my show like Ron Paul, Mark Faber, Rick Rule, David Stockman provide ways for you to protect your wealth and thrive during a period of time when Washington and Wall Street are confiscating your wealth. You can follow me on Facebook and Twitter @JTaylorMedia or download my show on iTunes or VoiceAmerica.com.